up their head, please. Mission I'm possible. Mission I'm possible. And today there's an extra word added to it, and it says go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Everybody go. Not yet, but go. Why don't we stand, and we're going to read out of Mark 16, 14 through 20 today. Beginning at verse 14, it says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Everybody say the word. Through accompanying signs, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through your word this morning and we talk on this going, that Lord, that you would touch each one of our hearts, prepare us, Father God, for the days ahead. That Lord, that our heart would line up with your will, God, Lord, so that your kingdom comes and that your will's done here on earth, just as you've designed it in heaven. Lord, that's what we want. We want heaven to touch earth. And Lord, you have a move of your spirit, Father God, not just in this house, but in this city, in this state, in this country, and around the world. So, Father, we join with you in your word today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody say, go!
Go!
Go! You know, for some reason, you know, as Pastor Rodney was talking about going, you know, going some places can be a little scary for people, amen? You know, but it's whether it's walking across the street or going to the ends of the earth, the devil has intimidated God's people so that they keep their mouths shut when it comes to sharing the gospel. Now, if your neighbor's noisy and it's past that 10 o'clock curfew and they're making a lot of noise, you have no problem opening up your mouth and telling them, quiet down, turn the music off, call the police. You have no problem opening our mouths when there's a problem. But God wants to open our mouths to share the gospel of the kingdom. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Go! You know, remember last week it was, what's the words? Come back to God. Come back to God. That's the message. Come back to God. Just ask people to come back to God and then share with them the way to come back to God. Amen. God is never far away. He is always close. You just turn around and he's there. Amen. He's always around. He's ever present. He has sent his Holy Spirit here. So if the Holy Spirit's in you, everywhere you go, God is. Amen. He's with you. And so, you know, everywhere you go, you have the presence of God. And to say, come back to God, and then you just lead to what God's doing in your life. Amen? It's literally that simple. And we have to start somewhere. We all have to open up with the gospel message. We all have to be able to tell people how to come back to God. But the first thing we need to do is, number one, that he talked about in this passage, is we need to believe. You have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus died and paid the price for our sins and sickness and rose from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of God today. If you don't believe that, then you've got nothing. You have nothing to share, because if you don't believe that, then you're not forgiven, you're not saved. So it all begins with that believing. And Jesus rebuked his disciples for their lack of belief. It's like, you know, he'd been telling them, this is what's going to happen, this. And then it happened, and they're like, oh, man, what happened? And so somebody said, oh, I saw him in the garden. And somebody said, oh, he appeared to us here. You know, like at Thomas, he appeared to 10 of the disciples in a room, and Thomas came late, and he's like, I don't believe it. And what? How do you not believe it? He said this was going to happen, you know? And then when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he's like, oh, man. And Jesus said what? He said, Thomas, you believe because you see. But how blessed are those that are going to believe that haven't seen? That's us. And we're blessed. Amen. Because if we believe in Jesus, we are blessed. Amen. And we're blessed because we believe. Amen. Because remember, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay, so it takes faith. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Everybody say, believe. And that he's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Amen. You seek him diligently. Remember, you get off that anthill and you get up into the water and you seek him diligently. He is going to reward you. Amen. And I believe the reward that's coming to you, I believe the reward that's coming to this house, Sandy Kareen gave us prophetically a few weeks ago, is souls. Souls. Amen. That is our reward. When we get off that ant pile and we get into the river of God, God is going to bring souls for the kingdom. Amen. People are going to get born again. They're going to get saved. They're going to be on fire for Jesus. And that's what we need, amen? That's what we desire. We want to take as many people to heaven with us when he comes as possible, amen? Yeah. And it all begins faith in Jesus. Without this, this doesn't work. There's no life. There's no life. As far as eternity is concerned, we are eternal beings. Whether you like it or not, we're eternal beings. Our soul and our spirit are going to live forever. But the great thing about God is he says that you get to decide where you're going to spend eternity. You make that decision where you're going to spend. Are you going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus? Or are you going to spend it in hell with Satan? And I know, you know, there's people out there bragging that, you know, there's even a song written about the highway to hell, you know, and people are excited about getting there. No idea what torment waits them. The torment that's coming to them. So, it says, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. You know, and we're going to have water baptism on March 15th. That Sunday morning, we're going to have water baptism. If you've not been baptized, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. You can get baptized. Because what baptism is it's an outward sign of what God's doing inside. Amen? And if you haven't been baptized in water, you need to get baptized. Amen? You need to take that step. Jesus did it. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for who? Us. So let's sign up today if you haven't been baptized. Or maybe you're just coming back to God and you need to make a commitment to him. Do it. So as we believe, we're baptized in water. Remember when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And it filled him. Johnson, I saw the Spirit descend like a dove. You know, it was really beautiful this week when we did Pedro's memorial service. And we went to the graveside and they had the releasing of doves there. And Delon and I each got to release a dove, you know, for Pedro's life. And it's just... It's by the Spirit of God that we're going to go be with Jesus. Amen. And it was a beautiful thing. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. He empowers you. So you don't have to worry about the going, what he's going to call you to do. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, get ready for that, amen? We have the power in us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It's in you. And so that we can, number two, cast out demons. Everybody say, cast out demons. In Acts 16, 18, it's about Paul. It says, this woman had followed him around for many days. It says, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. He just took the authority that was in him and he spoke to that demon in that woman, and he commanded it to come out of her, and it did that very hour. Amen. And that's what the authority, that's the power that Jesus has put inside of each one of us, that we have the power over the demonic. Amen. And the best place to start is when you're looking in the mirror. Yes. When the demon, when the devil is attacking you, when you know he's attacking you, he's attacking your health, he's attacking your finances, he's attacking your relationships, that you look in the mirror and you tell him to get off. That you use your authority and you don't tolerate what the devil's throwing at you. We've got to stop tolerating what the devil's put on us, amen? We've got to stop receiving that. We've got to stop taking that. We've got to take authority over that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we've got to line up and we've got to cast that thing out. And then, you know, we'll worry about the other things, because listen, if God wants you to cast the demons out of somebody else, he'll bring that person to you. Jesus didn't go looking for demon-possessed people. They always ran to him. They always came running to him and fell at his feet and said, hey, what are you doing here? And he said, you got to go. And they're like, no. And he said, go. Everybody said, go. So you get rid of it, amen. You have that power. You have the authority. But demon-possessed people will show up. Anybody got a cough drop? I don't want to suck on water the whole time. Come on. So, but we don't have to be afraid. Oh, thank you, honey. All ready for me. I don't have a cough. It's just dry. So, we don't have to be afraid of casting out demons. Amen. Because if God brings them to you, he'll move through you also with the power inside of you to cast them out. I remember my first demon-possessed person. They came to me. I didn't overthink it. I started praying in the Spirit, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you have to come out. I didn't try to talk to it. I didn't try to find out its name. I didn't try and communicate with it. I just know that in the name of Jesus, by the power that's put inside of me by the Holy Spirit, that demon's got to go. I don't need to know how to talk to them. I don't need to know their name. I don't need to know anything except that they got to go. Like I said, when I was in Africa a few weeks ago, the demon-possessed people, they threw them on the stage. I mean, literally threw them on the stage. I'm like, wow, that's a little freaky. I'm like, we don't do that. And they go, what do? I said, we take them in the back. And they're like, oh, that's all right. The pastor passes them to somebody else. You know, I said, because we don't want to give the devil any attention during the meeting, you know? So when demon-possessed people come, we'll just take them in the back and we'll cast out demons, amen? Jesse can go that way, Rob can go that way, and it'd be done, amen? Because we have that authority. So, but as I said, the first thing I usually do casting out demon-possession is number three, which is I start speaking in tongues. He says he's going to give us a new tongue, amen? That a believer, how many of you believe in Jesus? He has a new tongue for you, amen? So connecting with the Holy Spirit by praying in my heavenly language takes me out of the way and into God's way, amen? And that's where I want to be. Praying in tongues will build up your spirit, man. It'll encourage you. It'll cause you to want to rise up to do what God has called you to do. But this passage, it says that you'll have a new tongue. So when I read a new tongue, it infers to me that I have an old tongue. How many of you have an old tongue? A cursing tongue, a lying tongue, a flattering tongue, a deceiving tongue. You know, all these tongues that are listed in the book of Psalms, that is our old tongue. And he says, I'm going to give you a new tongue so that you not only get a heavenly language, but I know that my English language was transformed, being baptized in the Spirit of God, so that my language, my English language even changed. See, so he has a new tongue so that I'm not cursing, I'm not lying, I'm not flattering people, I'm not deceiving people, amen. Being filled with the Spirit, he gave me a new language. He gave me a new tongue. And I'm not the same that I was before. And the more that I pray in my heavenly language, the better my English language is. The more I pray in the Spirit, the less I say stupid things. How many of you say stupid things? Yeah, we all need to pray a little harder. I do, man. I say stupid things sometimes to my wife, mostly, you know. And thank God for the grace of God that's on her life for me. You know, so speaking in tongues is powerful for our testimony in Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place. Like right here, right now. We're all in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. filled the whole house. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They all began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. They all began, say all. All began to speak in tongues. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit. One of the first evidences we have is that we speak in tongues. And we know that the gifts come with it. The fruit comes with it. There's so much that comes with being baptized in the Holy Spirit that's transforming our lives, that helps us to be the witness of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So he fills us with the Spirit. Our language changes. Now we can pray in spirit. We can pray in a heavenly language that only God understands. You're praying in the Spirit. The devil doesn't know what you're saying. He doesn't get it. He's blocked from it. Man, it's only God. That's what we need. Think you cough? Get off. I'm not even sick. But we speak in our heavenly language, and it's powerful. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. So what you say determines life or death. So what have you come into agreement with? What are you saying that's in agreement with death or with life? How are you talking about your life out loud? Is it going to bring you death or is it going to bring you life? Are you coming into agreement with the doctors? Are you coming into agreement with your finance people? Are you coming into agreement with your marriage? What are you doing? What words are coming out of your mouth? Because praying in the Spirit is going to produce more life for you, amen. And the words that you say are going to determine where you go. Your words determine what's going to happen to you. Your words are so powerful, and you have to begin to understand that. I've talked about this so much, but I want you to know that your words make a determination of what's going to happen in your life. I don't come in agreement with your doctor. I do not, because that's something the devil has for you, not God. So today we take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, and we cast down that report, and we come alive with the word of the Lord that says, by his stripes you are healed. Amen. And that no weapon formed against you would prosper, that you are victorious, amen, by the power of the word of God. He sent the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. In the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten of the Father. The word is Jesus Christ. So the word, Jesus, we send to you today for the healing power of God to flow through your body, that you be made whole, and that when you go back to the doctor, they're going to say, what are you doing here? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See, I can come into agreement with that word. I can come into agreement with that word, but I can't keep coming into agreement with what a doctor says, amen? Now, the doctor's going to tell you the facts. He's going to tell you what's going on. He's going to tell you what he finds in your blood. He's going to tell you this, but we've got to stop coming into agreement with that, and we've got to start coming into agreement with God, amen? But the words that come out of your mouth determine your agreements. It determines your agreements. What are you agreeing with? When you say, I have, you're agreeing. I have this, I have that. You know what I have? I have healing. Amen. I have victory. I have the blood of Jesus coursing through my veins. Amen. I have the power of God in my body. I have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in me. I have Jesus. Amen. But what are you told you have? come into agreement with it. See, because if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. If any two agree, amen, what are you agreeing with? You don't have to call the doctor a liar. He's just telling you the facts. But the truth of the matter is Jesus. What's coming out of your mouth, amen? So praying in the Spirit is going to cause you to produce more life than death, amen? Coming into agreement with Jesus, his word, is going to speak volumes, amen, to your life. It's going to bring direction to your life. And while you're going along, number four, you're protected. You're protected. He says, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, they had a cloud by day and a fire by night to protect them, amen? God is willing to protect us, amen? I believe that wholeheartedly. Scott Allen got in a car accident doing 70 miles an hour on the 91 freeway, totaled his car, but walked away, amen? We were driving, me, Bear, and I went to L.A. yesterday, and Bear and I were driving. There's his car just totaled, man. There's no ambulance, there's no police, and there's two guys standing on their phone. I'm thinking, they must know Jesus. Because that car was jacked up. They must have hit the center. They must have hit the wall and bounced off, and their car was all totaled out. And they're just standing there talking on the phone. No police, no ambulance, nothing, you know. So I thought, they must know Jesus because he's our protector, amen. When Paul went to make a fire, a snake came up, and it latched onto him. And they said, ooh, that's a deadly snake. You're going to die. Paul said, huh. And he shook it off back into the fire. He says, we'll see. So the next morning he woke up and he woke up. He woke up and they're like, you must be a God. He's like, I'm not a God, but I do know God. Let me introduce you. See, and that's what the protection does. We can introduce people to Jesus. You know, it's just like when I was hiding in that attic that one time, and I hiding from the police, and They searched that room twice, but they never opened the attic door. I'm protected. I know that. I'm protected. When we pulled down on that car in Pakistan where the police are yanking the people out of the car in front of us at a search point, my driver backed up and went around it. I'm protected. Amen. We are protected. And so I don't worry about going to places because why? We have a protection on us. I don't worry about talking to people because we're protected, amen? And you say, yeah, but bad things happen to good people. Yeah, they do, but you know what? We're protected. We're protected. We're more than good people. We're sons of God. Amen? We're sons of God. Come on, you got to get it in your heart. I'm a child of the King. Amen? I'm a child of the King. I'm protected. And I'm not saying you got to go do something stupid. You know, I've done a few stupid things. You know, the bungee jumping thing, and I ride a motorcycle, and you know. But even in that, he covers me. I've been protected. Under God, under his protection, we can, number five, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Lay hands on the sick. And the best place to start is with yourself. You look in the mirror and you put your hands on yourself, huh? And be healed. You speak it. You don't stop speaking what the doctor says you have. You know, and that's a very difficult mindset to break. Very difficult. Very difficult. Because we come home and says, you know what, did you go to the doctor? Yeah, I went to the doctor. Well, what did he say? And then, you know, trying to say what the doctor said without owning it. The doctor says that my body has this, or just this, but Jesus says I'm healed. So I'm going to come into agreement with Jesus and not with how my body is, not even with how I feel. Because our feelings, I'm going to trust and I'm going to speak devil's trying to put on me, because, listen, you don't have cancer. The devil has cancer. Amen. The devil has cancer. You don't have it. The devil does. Amen. You don't have a cold. The devil has a cold. Amen. You don't have, you know, diabetes. The devil has diabetes. You don't have kidney failure. The devil has kidney failure. And he's trying to manifest himself in you. So if we get so full of God that there's no room for the devil, amen, that stuff's got to get off. I listen to Scott talk about things in his body that God is doing all the time. And he's doing more and walking more than he's been able to do in a long time. Not because he's been going to the doctor and getting shots and getting injections and getting treatment, but because he's gotten into the Word every day and he started on a journey of his faith increasing and his faith growing, that he's learned how to rephrase what he's saying so that God is doing a supernatural work in him, that the healing power of God is flowing through his feet, and the broken bones that the doctor said are there don't exist to Scott, because God says by his stripes we are healed, amen? And so Scott's walking it out in victory every day. It doesn't mean, I'm sure, Scott, you have some bad days sometimes. You know, how many of you ever have some bad days? But we, in that bad day, we got to stay victorious, and we got to declare who God is, amen? But we lay hands on the sick. When Peter and James, when the disciples first got filled with the Holy Spirit, they went to the temple, and there's this guy. Now, Pastor Jesse, this guy had to see Jesus before, because he's sitting at the gate, and he's been there for a lot of years at that gate, and he's been lame and begging for alms for years. And now when you go to the temple, you don't go empty-handed. You take something with you. You take a coin. You take something. You don't go empty-handed to the temple. You bring something to the Lord. And so, but when he saw Peter, he said, alms, alms for the poor. And Peter said, hey, buddy, I'm not giving you my money today. Kind of like me when I'm seeing people out on the streets. I'm not going to give you money, but what I do have, I will give you. Amen. And he reached out his hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he pulled that man. See, Peter's faith was extended in that he extended his hand and he pulled that person up. He pulled that man up so that that man, go ahead and walk and leap and praise God.
Hallelujah.
But that's what that man did. He walked and leaped and praised God because Peter extended himself to that man. See, it's not that he went into intercessory prayer. It's not that he anointed him with oil. He extended his faith to him. And he pulled him up. Man was me. See, if you're going to lay hands on the sick, it's not that you got to have some big, supernatural, long prayer. That man up, and what a miraculous, because everybody knew that, oh, that's the guy that begs. That's the beggar at the gate. What's he doing walking around the temple? You know, and then they got in trouble because, you know, they healed that man, you know, and then they're like, who healed you? And, well, they said it was Jesus, you know, and well, who's Jesus? Jesus, he's dead. And no, he's not. You know, Peter and James got in trouble, and they said, hey, listen, you can't speak that name anymore. And they said, who should we obey, you or God? About doing the Lord's business. And God is calling us to lay hands on the sick. I've been doing, the last couple of weeks, I've been doing meetings in Pakistan. This Friday, I got up at 2 a.m. I thought it was an 11-hour difference, but it's a 13-hour difference. So I thought I was going to get up at 3, be ready at 4, come down to the office, and they're calling me at 2. I said, I'm still sleeping. They said, but it's 3 o'clock. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I got up, I went and sat in the car at 2 in the morning, put on a nice shirt, you know, and sat there in my van and started preaching and praying for the sick. And people were getting healed. I was just praying. The pastor, he'd go and he'd lay hands on them. You know, and so we get up in the morning. I came home. I went back to bed about 4 for a few hours. And Lana and I get up to have breakfast. And she says, you know, do they know how hard that is to have to get get up in the middle of the night? Do you think it's really effective for you to get up in the middle of the night and do that meeting? And all of a sudden, my phone rang. And it was the pastor that I did the meeting with. And Don, do you want to share what happened to you? Will you share? You got a microphone, Pastor? What number? It's number 2, Marvin.
I repented.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
Well, you know, because we've been so busy and tired, and I know the toll, you know, on our bodies and how hard it is, and it's a disruption, you know, and when you're this age and you get disrupted in the little sleep you do get, it's not easy to recover. And so I was just, you know, feeling bad for him. And man, when I heard the reports, and I was just getting ready, so I wasn't going to let them see me on screen, and so I was just listening. I didn't even get to see the faces that he was seeing, and it was just so precious, and the response and the reports, and they were just like, let me just touch the hem, you know, how we would if Jesus was walking by. It was almost like, please, just keep talking, keep preaching, come to us, you know, they're hungry. And they're just reaching out. And so I just heard it in their voices and the words that they were speaking. And it was so precious. I was like, oh, the few hours sleep that you miss, please. Yeah, it's nothing. Really, the sacrifice is nothing. I mean, we only have a little bit of time left to do this. We got to give it our all. It's not about us and our comfortable lifestyle. It's about him and how many people can we touch and make strong, so they can go out and touch. And so I repented.
So I'm doing one again this Friday. So I'll do as many meetings as I can. Amen. Anybody that wants to hear, I'm not going to deny, but people were getting healed. It's miraculous. One guy was there, extreme pain in his left arm, and when he called me, I said, well, let's lay hands on him, let's pray. And afterwards, the pain was gone. He just had no pain. He'd been in extreme pain for months. Last week when we ministered online, one guy had back pain for 10 years, and it was totally gone. So God is doing a great thing because we lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Amen? And I just believe it. I believe it. And you know what's crazy is, out there around the world, they believe that if we would come to them and lay hands on them, they'd be healed. They believe that. I mean, Pastor Jesse, you know, we've seen amazing things happen, and they're just so hungry. But we need to be that catalyst. I didn't have to fly 18 hours to Pakistan. I had to walk out to my car so I didn't wake everybody up, because I get a little loud when I pray. You know, everybody wants money. I said, can you help us? And I said, no. I said, but what I can do is I can do a meeting whenever you want. They're like, okay, next Friday? Absolutely. See, in order to lay hands on the sick and they recover, in order to do this, you have to watch your word. It's better to pray in the spirit than to speak what you're seeing in the natural. You know, I have a hard time going to people, you know. I just remember years ago a sister that I knew that was, you know, on her deathbed, and they said, Pastor, would you come pray? There's only one way I know to pray. Get up! That's all I know, you know. That's how I pray, you know, and I just believe that God wants to do something so supernatural in us that we see miracles happening around us, amen. And it's when Sandy Corrine was here last June, she said that this was going to be a place for miracles, but it's not going to be based on a man. It's not going to be based on me. It's going to be based on you. I mean, it's all on Jesus, but that us, the people of God, begin to do the work of the ministry. We begin to step out in faith and lay hands on the sick so that they recover. Amen? That we take that place. But what you say, the Lord will confirm. Because that's what he said at the beginning. Let me go back to the beginning. He said, and they, verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So the Lord will confirm the words that are coming out of your mouth. The Lord will confirm. The Lord will do accompanying signs according to what's coming out of your mouth. So if you're speaking faith, if you're speaking the word of God, God will confirm the word that you're speaking. So what are you speaking? What are you coming into agreement with? Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of your words gives light. When the Lord's word enters, comes light. And it gives understanding to the simple. See, when we speak his words, it's powerful. But when you come into agreement with what the devil's doing, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. Whatever. And then Mark chapter 11, we'll finish up with this last verse. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I've already said that. Have faith in God. Believe, amen? For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Everybody say, does not doubt. Can't be a doubter and do this. You got to have faith. You got to step in faith. You can't doubt. It says, but believes that those things he says. Everybody say, says. The things you say. That's what Jesus said this. He said, the things you say will be done. Will be done. He will have whatever he says. That's a promise, amen. You will have whatever you say. So what are you saying? What are you coming into agreement with? Because the word of God declares right here, you're going to have whatever he says. Whatever you say. Whatever you say, and when I'm speaking the word of God, I'm going to have that in my life. Amen? I'm going to have that. You're going to have it. He says, therefore, verse 24, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, I'm not talking about going out and, you know, seeing this nice Porsche and walking around that thing and claiming that Porsche, you know. I'm talking about lining our words up with God today. See, because he said, go into all the world and preach. The words that you bring, he will confirm those words. When you see that person and you say, that's sick and that's ailing, that's got broken bones or whatever, you stand in the gap and you lay hands on them and you pray. I've never had anybody deny prayer. I've knocked on thousands of doors in the city of Corona. And I've had maybe one person slam the door on me and tell me they didn't want anything to do with me. One. Thousands. I've been doing this a long time. When you lay hands on the sick, as long as you don't come into agreement with what they're in, as long as you don't doubt, you can't doubt what God wants to do. Like I said, the best place to start is yourself. Maybe you're here today and you've got issues physically. You've got issues spiritually. Maybe you've been doubting what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you've been doubting the healing that he wants to bring to you, and you've been confused about what's going on. Like the disciples, you know, they were confused when Jesus rose from the rid of the confusion and just believe. Just believe. Let's pray. Father, we're here today, Lord, because you've challenged us to go. You've challenged us to bring a message of hope to people, God. Lord, to not come into agreement with what the world says, but to come into agreement with you. And Father, I pray that today it would start with our own selves. That, Lord, that we could look at ourselves and we could speak to ourselves and we could speak life. You said that we have death and life in the power of our tongue. I pray that today, Lord, you give us a new tongue. Give each one of us a new tongue, Father God, that we speak by faith, not by sight. Lord, let that resurrection power of Jesus thrive inside of each one of us today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I need a new tongue. Not that you talk bad, but you know you've been in agreeing with what all the junk of this world that's been thrown at you. And you say, I'm not coming into agreement with that stuff anymore, but I'm going to come into agreement with God's word. And I'm going to take that new tongue and I'm going to start confessing the word of God over my life and over people I meet. If that's you today, just raise your hand and wave at me today. You say, that's you today. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. 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 Every hand should be up right now. Come on, because we're not doing this right. We need to get it down right. Amen. We need to get going with what God has for us. Why don't we stand to our feet today? You know, when they were together in the upper room, they were in agreement. Why don't we join hands this morning? Let's come into agreement together. Come into agreement. Come on. Join hands today. You can go across the aisles, whatever. Let's just join hands. Yeah. Let's come into agreement with each other today.
As you please, and we will shout your name out until there's victory.